What it is, everybody? Welcome to episode 129 of Fish and Connor Saw a Movie. My name's David Pepper. You can call me Fish. With me, as always, my favorite sack of shit,
Connor McDuff! Hello, everybody. How are you? You can't answer that question. How are you, Fish?
I'm all right.
So before the podcast, David Pepper, in all of his glory, is turning 30 years old. And I was
invited
to go down.
Well, not before the podcast. I'm about to.
Before the podcast, we were discussing this. And I got invited to come down to Melbourne.
So basically, guys, I invited Connor McDuff because he's one of my besties. We talk every fucking week. And the asshole isn't coming to my birthday party.
I'm sorry. I feel so bad.
What kind of a fucking friend is that?
Immediately.
Listeners, please berate this asshole because it's not like it's just like an everyday thing that's going on. You only turn 30 once. I'm having a fucking sweet Tron-themed party. And this fuck can't even come down.
I'm sorry, okay? I understand that I'm a bit of a shit, alright? But I didn't do it. I'm not just not coming down, okay? It's not like I'm a fucking that big of a dickhead. I just had other plans, forgot about them, said I could come to the 30th, and it turns out I can't.
Is that not something that you would change, listeners? You change your plans for a person's 30th. I don't know. I don't know. We're supposed to be fucking best friends. I don't know.
We are best friends!
I'm not feeling the love, McDuff. I'm not feeling... This could have been a great publicity thing for Fish and Connor. Fish and Connor finally together at a party. We never do it. And all my friends who are listeners are like, I kind of coming, it'd be funny to like hang shit on him because I don't like him. And I'm like, nah, we can't do it. Sorry, guys. McDuff's not coming because he's a jerk.
I will make an appearance at some point during the autumn season, okay?
Nah, it's not really that big a deal. I just like to give him shit. I honestly didn't think you were going to come anyway because you're
a
broke-ass motherfucker.
Moving on to Kong.
so what are we talking about this week? Kong Skull Island.
What? I thought it was Peter Jackson's King Kong. Oh, God. I wasted 3 hours. Oh, God.
Did you actually watch Peter Jackson's King Kong? I did.
But after watching this film, I've been craving it.
I watched it beforehand because I was thinking, what sort of connection there would be. Because I didn't really pay too much attention to the trailers of Skull Island. Like, I saw helicopters and King Kong, and I just assumed that it was like a prequel to the original one. But then actually going back and watching, I'm like, hold on, no, this movie's set in the 20s, and the new one's definitely set in the 70s. It's got that whole Apocalypse Now sort of feel going on, Vietnam War, and so I was kind of like, well, what's the connection here?
And not a lot.
Not really not anything lot. At all, which I'm sure we'll talk about. Peter Jackson's King Kong is a great film. It's just stupidly long.
It's incredible. Like, it's an incredible film, but it is fucking long.
I remember, you know that Australian comedy band Tripod?
Yeah, yeah.
They did a song that about Peter Jackson's King Kong, and it was called Get to the Fucking Monkey. Because there's like a whole like hour and a half before you actually see King Kong.
Yeah, see King Kong. Yeah.
It's funny, that movie's set up into three sort of full movies. There's like the New York at the start, then getting there, and then Skull Island, and then New York with King Kong wrecking shit. All equally good films, but when you watch them together, it's quite a slog. It took me like 2 days to watch it.
It's a long film, yeah. This one, not so much. This one's only like 90 minutes, 2 hours.
Yeah, I feel like this is a good length for, like a monster movie mashup.
Yeah.
This definitely focuses more on the monster element as opposed to, you know, the human side of things that King Kong did. But let's talk about that after you give us a fucking plot summary.
So, Kong follows really nothing from King Kong, as we've already discussed. Set in the 70s, it's just as the Vietnam War's ending, and so this company who searches for monsters has basically made a deal with the government to go and search this uncharted island that's notorious for people going missing to figure out if there's some shit there. They go there and they start bombing the place for science, but really it's to wake up whatever's there. So Kong gets pissed off, starts destroying these helicopters for totally ruining his entire bloody home. At the same time, these bombs have let out these skull crawlers, these little lizards. Basically, they're going to kill King Kong and everything on the island if they get the opportunity. And we find out that Kong is actually basically a protector of the island. He's looking after everyone. He doesn't really look after, he just doesn't care. Like, he leaves everyone alone, basically. And he is trying to make sure that these lizards don't kill anyone. We find John C. Reilly, who was a pilot that got lost there like 30 years ago in the film, so during World War II. And he feels the same with all this stuff. So basically it's them trying to get off the island now because they figured out what's going on. Lots of people die. Some people live. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Kong beats the lizards up and everyone lives. And everyone gets away except for a couple others. And then at the very end, we find out that... did you watch After the Credits, Fish?
Oh, yes, I did.
We find out that basically what's happening is Kong is going to fight Godzilla. Oh. And that is the whole reason this film was made. Fun fact for you.
Mm-hmm.
I found that out. So I've known... You know when you were talking about what similarities and if it was a prequel and stuff? Mm. I went into this film knowing exactly that it'll be this crazy monster movie because I saw the trailers for one and I just like, I heard that basically they had made King Kong this massive creature so he could fight Godzilla.
Yeah. Well, let's nip this in the bud and talk about this before we move on because this is obviously something that is weighing on both of our minds or was at least something we need to talk about. First of all, the connection between other Kong things, maybe not to King Kong, but you could see with all the dead skeletons of other giant monkeys. Cool. And it's actually in King Kong that those skeletons are there as well.
Really?
Which I didn't realize until I watched it again the other day. So I just assumed that maybe there's another little baby fucking Kong getting around and he's, you know, grown through the years to the 70s and become the beast that he is now. You know, you also see that there's been like a family of apes. So there, you know, maybe that's the only vague connection between the two films.
There's a lot of symbolic connections. Like there's a lot of symbolic connections. Like John Goodman's character is meant to represent Jack Black's
Carl
character.
Denham, yeah.
And you've got at the end, so King Kong's chained up in the wreckage and he frees himself from the wreckage.
Yeah.
And that's obviously much a homage to him freeing himself in New York. There's actually a few that I noticed. There's a shot of Kong trying to snap the lizard's jaw.
He tries to break the jaw, yeah.
And that's a reference. Like there's
kills the T-Rex and
there's a whole bunch of things like that. And like Annie, is it Annie? Is it Annie? Is that the character's name? Anne? Is it Anne?
Oh, Anne Farrow.
And so, like, you know, you've got Darren? Brie Larson who kind of does something very similar. There's little moments like that share similarities.
Yeah, of course.
But there's nothing story-wise that links the two, I don't think, at all.
In some ways, like, I guess people like myself, I was expecting to see at least a nod or something, and those little tips of the hats were enough for me. I felt it was cool because it makes its own world and we don't really need to worry about the rest of it. But like, because Kong is, people still think of Peter Jackson and, you know, even the original stop motion. So we know the King Kong story. We know the Empire state building, planes flying around, shooting him off. And, you know, 'twas beauty that killed the beast. It's like, it's such a strong piece of pop culture that I think it's funny that they didn't at least give us something, some sort of connection. I'm not particularly annoyed by it because like the homages were sort of enough for me. It was kind of like with Jurassic World, you know, yeah, it's still in the same world, but they sort of nod at things a lot more. I know that was a lot more connected, but you know what I mean? It's not
it's a
full on continuation.
Yeah. It's kind of just like, hey, here's this connection. Like we recognize that other films were made basically.
Yeah, of course. But, talking about the Godzilla thing, I heard like way back before they even started shooting this film that was kind of the idea they wanted because it was from the same guys who made Godzilla. They both own the rights to these two giant monsters. Like, why wouldn't they have them fight? And I didn't know for sure if it was going to be a thing. And I was kind of just like watching this movie being like, oh, they're going to have a Godzilla versus King Kong. They're going to have it and it's going to be awesome. But there was nothing sort of teasing until, you know, I thought, I'll just wait until the end of the credits because, you know, that's probably where they're going to do something. And before the end of the credits, they actually referenced Toho, the people who made Godzilla, like that, you know, Godzilla and Mothra and all these other the rights of Toho. And I was like, fucking hold on, did I miss something in the movie? And then all of a sudden the last section comes up and I'm just like fucking nerdgasm and all over the place. I'm like, oh my God, I want to see King Kong fight Godzilla.
They're two very different films too, which I found kind of sort of funny, is that like Godzilla is super dark and gritty, and there's like this seriousness to it, and this is like an all-out romp.
Yeah.
Like, this is very much like they, my friend, and a lot of people are going into it, I think, just to segue to the next point, like a lot of people I think are going into this film expecting like a King Kong film, like that, yeah, that beautiful symbolism and blah, 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 but really it's not. And so I've heard a lot of like, it's fine. Like it's not, it's, you know, it doesn't really take itself seriously. I'm like, yeah, no fucking shit. Did you see a trailer for this film? Like there is no way this film was going to take itself seriously. Kong is fucking ridiculously huge.
Yeah, yeah.
And I knew that was going to be the case. And it's funny to see how they're going to put Kong and Godzilla in a monster movie now, because Godzilla was so gritty and Kong is so silly. And I feel like there's going to be a, like that mix is going to be interesting to watch, I think, later on.
Yeah. I think they'll probably do a little bit of like the tease that they had in Godzilla, a bit more, you know, teasing that these two giant monsters are emerging in the world. And then the probably the last half of the film will just be rompy sort of stuff like this one. So I can see it working, because if you think about like the last 10 minutes of the Godzilla film, as you know, as much blue balls as it gave you throughout the entire film before it finally showed you Godzilla doing his thing.
I hate that shit. Like, I it could have.
I love it, but I think they went just a little bit too far with the teasing. But I love the teasing. That's what I think monster movies should be about, because it just sort of, I don't know, it raises that mystery and tension, and it makes me really excited for when actually it's going to happen. But when it's finally happening in Godzilla, like I could see, you know, like him shooting lasers fire out of his fucking mouth and all that sort of thing. I could see that with King Kong. Like those scenes, I can see that happening. I can see it being fun, and I can see it like doing really well if they do it properly and have the right mix of the two.
Just to compare, like this film doesn't have that tension. Like this film is like, they're like, hey, here's King Kong. And I was never bothered by that. Like I never felt like I was seeing too much. I always felt like every time he was on screen, I was like, fuck yeah. Like there was a lot of moments for me. It was like, oh my God. Like that was crazy. Like
I think the best thing that this film does is that the monkey's so friggin' big that when the humans are on screen with it, you only see a part of it anyway. So that's kind of a little bit mysterious in itself. Like that first scene, like I love the setup to this film. It's just so simple. There's a guy researching giant animals and
he wants to go find them,
and he figures out he wants to go find them, and it's like, okay, that's fine enough for me. It's very similar to The Lost World for me. Like, you know, I know a lot of people don't like that film, but I love the setup of it. It's just a bunch of guys going into an uncharted world where it's unexplored, and there's all these new creatures that we get to find with them. So my favorite thing of this whole movie is Skull Island. Like the character of Skull Island is awesome, and the mystery of it is awesome, and it's all kind of fun from the get-go. Like you got all the guys in the helicopters doing the Apocalypse Now thing to a fucking killer soundtrack, this killer 70s soundtrack. Like they're listening to Black Sabbath while they're dropping the bombs, you know, trying to get all the readings and whatever. And then a fucking palm tree just comes out of nowhere.
It's so cool.
And like this hand swats. So you know what I mean? Like there's enough mystery there, but this movie has told us this isn't Godzilla. This is, you know, from the start, like you see Kong in that first scene when John C. Reilly's younger character and the Japanese guy crash.
Yeah.
And so they show their hand pretty quickly and put you in the mood, and you know what you're in for. And I, as much as I like the tension building of and the teasing of Godzilla, I think this was the right way to go for this sort of movie, because like you said, it's a romp. This is a fun popcorn flick.
And it's always like, and it never fails to be cool. It's the thing I really liked. Like the shot of Godzilla with the sun in the background and the helicopters flying towards him was mental. Like, Kong. That was just so cool. Yeah. Like I was so like amazed by that. And this is a really pretty film. Like the cinematography in this is gorgeous.
Dude, this is the prettiest movie I've seen in a long time. I love the cinematography, and it's so fucking dynamic, and it really draws you into everything that's happening in this film. Like I was in awe of some of the shots that were going on in this movie.
No shaky cam either, which was cool. It was actually a genuinely pretty film.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
But look, on the note of Kong, like, I thought his scenes were really good. I really enjoyed how he looked. I enjoyed that he was more humanoid than gorilla.
Yeah.
Like they made, he's a monster. Like he's not an ape, he's a monster. And that was really cool. Like I really liked that aspect of him because I wanted to watch a monster film and I get to watch Kong fucking kill a bunch of monsters and walk around and just be a boss.
Well, like, you see the start, like he just doesn't give a shit. Like so many people die in that opening helicopter scene, you know, like he sets the tone and he's like, he's not gonna take any shit. He's gonna take people out and he's gonna take characters out that you wouldn't expect to die. And then fight these like giant squids and skull monster things. And these, you see, you know, like it's just really cool. But then he has that humanity to him as well that makes you feel for him. And of course, once we learn what his MO is as well, like he's protecting the people, like, you know, protecting the tribes people. I thought it was like just a great little turnaround for the character because you want to hate him immediately and you're totally on the side of Samuel L. Jackson who wants vengeance, you know, for this monkey killing all his mates. And then you hear John C. Reilly telling us about how, you know, no, you don't want to fuck with Kong. He's the one who saves you from the things that are worse. And I felt myself being really torn. I don't know if you did as well, but like...
I was in full support of Kong the entire time.
I like that Kong. I wanted Kong to be killing people, but like I was, you know, I could see, like from the way that they portray him at the start, as just this bloodthirsty monster that's killing everybody. And like, of course, we understand we've come into his house.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I was always on his side. I was like, fuck these guys! You're blowing up his goddamn, like you're blowing up his kitchen. Like if I came in, someone's dropping bombs in my kitchen, little fucking midgets would drop bombs and stomp on them too and throw their goddamn helicopters around like they were nothing. Like, get out. What are you doing?
But saying that, I understand where Sam J is coming from. I understand why he wants that vengeance. Like, he's been with these boys all through the war. And, you know, you see that this guy's life is war. And he's, like, depressed at the thought of the war ending because, like, he's going to have no purpose. Yeah, like, he's looking at his medals and he's like, what the fuck do these mean now? Which I thought was great. Like, just a really good character thing. And then for his boys to be taken out by something that wasn't even the war, like, this is all he knows. He's like, I need to get vengeance here. And I loved it.
I liked it too. I thought all the characters were pretty cool. I mean, the script in this film is horse shit. Like, the dialogue in this film, I was like, are you for real? Like, it's so on the nose. Like, every line that comes out of someone's mouth is so ridiculously on the nose. Again, I was okay with it because this film is a monster film. And all the dialogue is doing really is just, like, setting up the next cool scene. And I was pretty fine with that, but I definitely wasn't intelligent dialogue. Like, the first lines from John Goodman where he's like, what does he say? He's like, oh, there's never been a worse time for the 70s. Like, it's just something so stupid. And the moment I said that, I'm like, oh, okay, I know what this film's going to be like.
But I like the social commentary on the, you know, the war was funding everything and now pulling out of the war, nobody can get any funding. I think that was kind of fun. I do agree with you. Like, there is on the nose stuff. I don't think the script is that ridiculous. Like, it caters for what we need out of this film. I do have a problem with not all the characters got as much love as they probably should have. There's a lot of characters in this movie and they kind of set up things and then they just don't mean anything. Like John Goodman, like, just dies.
I feel like he should have been one of the last to die. Like, he's set up as one of the most important people.
Yeah, like, and as much as I loved his death and the whole, like, the camera flash going off inside that lizard thing, I feel like he was, like, the main character. Like, he was the Carl Denham. He was the Jack Black of this. And for him to just be so expendable was a little bit weird to me. And then there's the, you know, the army guy with the son. And he gets a whole lot of things as well, you know, towards the start of the film, all about like, yo, we got to get this guy back to his son. He's writing the letters. He's like the...
And then he just dies.
He just dies. And he's the one who sees Kong, like being just Kong in the drinking the water and killing the thing.
Yeah, that was really strange. I really thought he was going to live because that was a cool moment.
Yeah. They're really building him up to be almost the next lead. And then he just dies. So out of the blue. And now the guy who pretty much is the lead, Tom Hiddleston, is fucking wasted.
Yeah, he's like, so nothing.
He's such a nothing character, and he's just so generic. He's so just like, look at me, I'm a fucking bitch. Man, he is buffed up too, by the way.
Yeah, he's a good looking dude.
He looks good, man. He looks really good. I want to see more of him because I like what he's doing, but they just didn't give him anything.
He's the next James Bond, supposedly.
You know what? Now I could kind of see it because before I was like, oh, he's too weedy, but now he's fucking big. I could probably go with it.
I understand it. I was like, yep, that makes sense.
Yeah, such a waste in this movie though. And especially when they've kind of pushed him that, like, as I assumed, like, you know, John Goodman's died. So now that we start focusing on him, and then there's like this weird, almost forced, love thing with Brie Larson.
They forced Brie Larson down your throat in this film. Like, I knew they were going to do it. They're like, oh, look, she's independent and strong. And like, they jam it down your throat that she's special. And I'm like, she's a fucking photographer. Like, I don't care. She's fine. But again,
I liked her.
Yeah, I just felt like she was like, I don't know. I felt like she had plot armor. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like she had a lot of like, she's alive right now because we're trying to make sure she lives. Like that scene where she's getting chased by that massive lizard. I was watching that and I'm like, you should be dead. Like, how are you outrunning a fucking lizard?
My friend Nadine, she sent me a message after watching this movie. And she's the one who made us watch all those Twilight movies. Thanks, Nadine. Mm. She like hated this film because of what Brie Larson was. She hated that they had her just like Baywatch posing all the time. Like,
they did.
Look how hot I am. Oh my God. And like, I didn't notice any of that because of the fact that I think she is a babe. So I was all for seeing more Brie Larson.
She's so gorgeous.
Oh man, so pretty. And I didn't mind what they did with her character. Whereas she said she really liked Tom Hiddleston. And I'm kind of like, is it because you thought he was good looking? And she's like, well, he is good looking. But it's, yeah, see, it might be a bit of rose-tinted glasses going on here. I'm just, like, in awe of the beauty of Brie Larson. But, like, I didn't think... Like, her character wasn't impressive to me, and I wasn't pissed off at independent woman stuff that was getting forced. I didn't see any of that. I just saw her as, you know, somebody documenting this thing, and we were almost following her for most of it. Like, I felt like almost she should have been the main character because we could have, she in one of those shitty movies where they just use the main character as a vessel to show us all the other interesting shit that's going on in the world. I found like the forced, like they sort of, that like it didn't fully happen, but you know, they're obviously pushing that there's a little romance between her and Tom Hiddleston that just sort of came out of nowhere. Yeah, and didn't become
anything. I'm glad it didn't turn into anything more because that would have pissed me off.
It would have pissed me off a lot more, but I almost wish that it was not there at all. Like, why are they cuddling and holding each other and all that? You know, like, I know we're scared, but why is it only those two doing that?
That was strange.
In terms of other characters, I loved the army boys. I thought the camaraderie between all of them was awesome. Like, they don't particularly get a whole lot of character development, but like, I just feel the, you know, we're boys and we stick together sort of army feelings that they have.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It definitely felt like they were mates, didn't it? Like, they really did enjoy each other's company. Every character sort of had like something going for them. None of them to me were necessarily very good. Like, I wasn't sitting there going, yeah, I love watching them. I was like, yeah, cool. Like, I'm watching a movie about King Kong. I want to see King Kong. That's what I'm here for.
There was one character that I did love, and that's John C. Reilly's.
Oh yeah, of course. But that's because John C. Reilly's a fantastic actor. Like, he's really good. And like, he definitely was probably the most enjoyable on screen because he had like attitude. Like, he, and not like forced attitude. Like, John C. Reilly was just, I liked him a lot.
John C. Reilly and being fun.
Yeah.
What was the line you liked?
I love the line, we've got a good bunch of boys here, we're all going to die together.
A good bunch of boys to die with.
Yeah, shouldn't have come here.
My favorite was when he's talking about the ants in the trees, and you hear an ant, like a sound effect of like a bird, and he's like, it sounds like a bird. That's a fucking ant. Just the way he says it is so good. But like, really, once, because the movie, you know, it was cool action stuff and then blow up and then a little bit depressing because everybody died and we're sort of trying to regather. And then once he came into it, he just sparked like that little bit more of fun that we needed, you know, like, let's bring this back down to the level that it is this monster movie popcorn flick. And by putting John C. Reilly in there and him just talking smack and being funny, it just really pushes you on that level. And I appreciated that because he really brings light to the screen once he gets on there.
I'm really glad that, like, there are other monsters in the film too.
Yeah.
Like, that spider bit was cool as. Like, I so love creepy. That scene.
Yeah.
That was so sick.
And so well shot again. Yeah. Oh my God.
And because it's a spider, like, I was watching that and I'm just like, fuck that. Yeah. Fuck that.
Yeah.
That was so messed. And I liked the skull crawlers were a little nothing. Like,
yeah, they were a bit generic.
I wanted them to be dinosaurs. It would have been cool if they were dinosaurs.
Why couldn't it have been a T-Rex? We've already know that dinosaurs inhabit this fucking Skull Island. If it's the same Skull Island, you know.
Maybe it was because they didn't want something that was too close to Godzilla. Maybe that was the point. Like, they didn't want something that was, like, too Godzilla-esque because they felt like true. It was... But, I mean, like, for me, I was like, fuck, though. Like, I don't know. The lizards were just a little generic. Like, they felt too generic to me.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of them. Although, I did like, you know, when you get to see a little bit more of them, especially the big one towards the end and that giant fight at the end, I kind of got a little bit more on board with it, but... It's just, yeah, I don't know. There could have been something else here. Like,
I just wanted a more iconic character. Like, I wanted a more iconic sort of animal.
You wanted a Godzilla sort of looking. Like, not Godzilla, but like something that's as iconic as Godzilla.
A T-Rex is nothing to compare to Godzilla. So if he fights a T-Rex, you know, and I mean, again, though, he's so big is probably the thing. Like, he's so massive that a T-Rex would probably be too small. Maybe that's what it is.
But saying like, that, like, this is this world that we don't understand, so it could have just been some hybrid dinosaur.
Huge,
like,
T-Rex.
You know, Indominus Rex fucking comes out double
also,
the size.
Also, I wanted to bring something up. That shot where the lizard spits out the skull with Chapman's dog tags around it is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I was watching that and I was like...
How did they stay on the skull? Yeah.
I was with Jenny and Jenny and I were sitting there and, like, Jenny was just like, he spits out the skull and Jenny's like, really? Like, that's all she said. She's like, really? Like,
yeah, I mean, I definitely had that thought, but I was like, whatever, I'll go with it.
Even if you just spit out the dog tags, you'd be like, okay. But he spits out the fucking head with the tags.
Even if it was just like a bunch of innards that had been like regurgitated and the dog tag was in it would have made more sense. I think I was more because I actually was like freaking out for the characters while they were going through that, like the skull yard, you know.
Oh, it's so stressful.
And we, especially, you know, all John C. Reilly's all like, no, that's not where we go. That's we need to go this way, you know. That's we're gonna die. We're gonna die in here. A good bunch of people to die with. I think just seeing the dog tags gave me the relief of like, okay, now get the fuck out. Get the fuck out.
Let's go. Yeah. There was that awesome scene with Tom Hiddleston cutting up the birds with the gas mask on, which was epic.
I'm normally the one that likes that shit. And I think that was maybe the lamest thing for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I still dig it, you know, because I love in, what's it called, in Ghostbusters when we see... that, you know, the chick do Kate that McKinnon. Similar sort of thing doing, and, you know, the 300, you know, obviously it's a 300 nod. Yeah, I don't know. I think it was just a bit because Tom Hiddleston hadn't, I didn't believe that he was this much of a badass yet.
Yeah,
like,
true.
They were just telling me he was a badass. I felt like it was like, all of a sudden he's a fucking ninja. Like, okay. As cool as it was, it was like the skull, like I kind of looked at it and I was like, okay. But then as it kept going, I was like, but it still looks pretty fucking cool. So
it looks so sick. It's so pretty. So many scenes in this. I'm just like, oh, that's so gorgeous.
Yeah.
I mean, the one bit that I laughed at was the guy getting picked up by the birds. I was like, oh my fucking God. Like, that is just so silly when he like is on the boat and he's like, yeah. And the birds just pick him up and take him away.
Just,
I'm just like,
just rip him apart off of the thing.
What on earth?
Now, in all these killing scenes, did it seem to you like there was just, like, an abundance of generic army guys that were getting killed?
Yeah, like, I thought there was way less. Like, every scene, I'm like, oh, there's less than that. And then next minute, I just feel like I'm like, wait, there's more?
Yeah,
there's still
like,
more
that's
left?
What I thought as well. I was like, where are all these people coming from? Yeah. I actually, especially in that ambush in the skull yard thing where, you know, there's an old mate on top of the Triceratops.
There's so many people
fucking with the gun, like blowing shit away. And I thought that dude was one of the army guys. I thought he was like the sort of the older guy with the buzz cut. And when he sort of turns up later, I was like, oh, didn't you die? Like, wait, who died back there? Who are these people? Yeah. I felt despair for the characters that I thought I knew, and then they came back, and I was like, oh, hold on. So it was just a bunch of, like, no names.
Random dudes, yeah. That's, but that I mean, like, weird. Again, like, I didn't care, because I never attach myself to any characters, because I'm like, it's a monster film. And, like, I went in going, well, I know that this film is about Kong. And it very much is. Like, they do a very good job, in my opinion, of making sure that they've got characters that are driving the story, but really it's about Kong.
I think so, too. But I think I kind of expected them to kill off things, because they were killing off characters here and there that did mean stuff to us, like John Goodman and the dad, like... So why wouldn't they kill the army guys? You know what I mean? That's where I was a little bit confused.
There were a couple of times I was like, these people have to die now. Like, I'm like, more people have to die.
A lot of people actually survived in the end.
That scene with the army dude with the grenades and the dinosaur.
Oh, yeah, that's the guy who I thought died.
Yeah, it just whips him, like, looks at what he's doing, and just, I was like, that is brutal. Like, that is so brutal.
So funny. Like, it's just, you know, he's sacrificing... And you think, this is going to be the one, this is going to be the final blow. He's sacrificing himself. So, and then it's just like, whoosh, nah.
Yeah, nothing.
I love it. I just love that they know the cliches that they're poking at and then sort of turn them on their head a lot of the time as well. So things like that in any other movie, that's definitely the final blow, but not in this one.
Nah, this is whipping away. I think the final fight between King Kong and the lizard dude was pretty cool.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed it. I felt like tense the whole time, like the humans are getting involved, suddenly the lizard's after the humans, and then Brie Larson shoots a flare, suddenly he's after Brie Larson, and then like I liked that stuff. I thought
just
that was
quickly,
really cool.
How cool was the shot of her shooting that flare off as well?
Like, so it's epic.
So dynamic. I love it. No, yeah, I agree. I think it was just really well orchestrated, that whole thing. It felt like the humans were a part of it in, you know, a fight between two ginormous animals that they really shouldn't have any effect on, but they did. And, you know, just by them, you know, putting little pins into them, shooting from that giant gun on the hovercraft thing, like even just enough to aid Kong in a way that feels significant and makes the, you know, the tables turn. Yeah. I love the scene where, you know, he is chained and he pulls the fucking motor out and you're just like, oh, what is he? This is gonna be awesome. And he just starts whacking it with it and, like, cuts up the bottom of his mouth. And you're thinking, like, also, oh, he's gonna, you know, like, he's just gonna chop his head off or whatever. But no, it doesn't quite go there either. And then Brie Larson's in his hand and, like, this thing's trying to get him. And he punches down the throat with Brie Larson in the hand, still grabs its innards and pulls it out. I was just like, holy shit. That was awesome.
Such a great death. Like, I love that death. Perfect. Like, it was just so ridiculous. And that's the whole point. Like, this film is ridiculous. Like, this film is silly as hell, but it's a good monster film, you know? Yeah. And what I wanted to say was, like, there are issues with this film. I was telling Jenny this. I'm like, is it bad because it's a bad film? No, it's not. It's got some really good stuff. The script, for example, I thought the script was shit. Yeah. That's an aspect of it that I think isn't good and in no way is excusable. But it's silly. Like, that's why it's bad. You know, it's silly. But this is the sort of film. This is like the Predator for the next generation. This is a film that you take your 10-year-old son to, or your nephew, or your niece, or your brother, and you're like, dude, watch this. Like, imagine being 12 years old and sitting down and watching this. Like,
it's so funny that you say that, because what I think of this movie is Predator meets The Lost World. And those were two movies that, when I was that age, blew my fucking mind. So coming out of this movie, I felt like a kid again. I felt like I'd just seen The Lost World, and I was so giddy, and I was with all my mates, and we're all just like, oh my God, how cool was it when Kong did this? And helicopters and fucking guys with guns and, like, hot girls. Like, it's just such a great young man movie.
Yeah, you know? It's like, it's a perfect testosterone-fueled film, and it's perfect for kids. Like, this is the sort of film, like, I'm watching it, I'm like, man, if I have a kid soon, which I'm not, if I have a kid soon, like, this is the sort of film I'll show them. That's when they're older. I'll be like, watch this. Because this is the sort of thing that gets kids in love with film, because it's just so fun and simple, but just enough of everything for them to go, wow, that's awesome.
And that's another interesting point, because, like, you think of, like, a lot of the bigger filmmakers that have, you know, at their peak now, or have just passed their peak, like people like Peter Jackson, who was a fan of those creature features back in the day. Like, if you read a lot of, you know, like, the filmmakers' biographies of that era, a lot of them love those stop motion creature films, and that's what got them into making movies. They wanted to make movies like that, and so I totally agree. I think this is the thing. This is like the gateway drug to film.
For film, yeah. I mean, like, most filmmakers are the same. Like, if you listen to what got them in, you're right. It's always films that aren't rated as fantastic, critically acclaimed films. It is films that are rated as fucking sick.
Yeah,
you know, it's like A New Hope, for example. Like, that's always one. Everyone's like, yeah, Star Wars. Star Wars isn't like this phenomenal.
It's not groundbreaking writing.
It's a high budget B movie. That is Episode 4. But A New Hope is a high budget B movie. Yeah. And I am a huge Star Wars fan, and I will gladly stand behind that. Like, and that's what it is. And people watch it and they're like, that was sick. Lightsabers, you know? Yeah. Monsters. Like, everything you want. This is the same. It's called Monsters. No lightsabers. Tom Hiddleston. Yeah. Brie Larson. Basically lightsabers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, true. Well, it's like, you know, I love Jurassic World,
but
I can definitely see all the faults with that film. Like, and the more I watch it, the more I see it. But it doesn't matter to me because it gave me what I wanted. It gives me, it's like, it's that genre film. It's got dinosaurs. It's got like fun enough characters that I can go with it and understand what's going on. And that's the same with this one. Like, this is, I can see all the faults. Like, and there's a part in me, my little critic brain in the back of me, that's being all like, you should be tearing this to shreds in terms of like the character development and the wasted characters and blah, blah, blah. You know, some
Who
of the
cares,
writing.
Though?
But I had so much goddamn fun with it that I am able to look over those things. And that's, there's like, it's a, you know, it's a seesaw. You gotta have enough. It's like, you know, the crazy to hot scale. You know, you have to have enough of one to make you deal with the rest of the others, or the other way around. And to me, I actually don't think this script is that bad. Like, I can accept that there are definite plot holes, and, you know, more in terms of the character stuff is what I was annoyed at, because, you know, they have so many characters and set up things and don't go anywhere with it. But other than that, I think this is a fairly well-made movie in an overall sense, and at least in an average sense, and then they've just escalated it with fucking awesome scenes and imagery and a killer soundtrack. Like, well, the soundtrack makes it for me as well.
Let's wrap this puppy up. Let's do Good, the Bad, the Ugly.
The Bad, the Ugly. What you got?
I've got fucking shit attached to my mouth. Ew! My mouth is so grotty.
Shit?
Sorry.
Why have you got shit in your mouth?
No, mouse. My
mouse.
Computer mouse. It's fucking gross underneath it. Shut up! I'm a man. Anyway, the monsters. The monsters are definitely my good. I thought they were sick. What's your good?
I think, oh man, I liked so much in this movie. I don't know what to say is the best or the good. Like, I think I have to really go with the imagery. I just think this movie is so incredibly well shot, and that just escalates the monsters and escalates the, you know, the scenes and the fights and everything, like, and the terror. Like,
it's so well done.
Like, I rarely, like, you know, we talk a lot about like pretty movies, and a lot of the time if we see a shit movie, we'll kind of be like, yeah, but the cinematography was good. But this time around, I actually walked out being like, man, I want to shoot everything like that if I can. Like, that was so fucking cool the way it was done. The camera's just flying around, but like you said, not shaky cam, which I didn't realize, but it's so smooth and dynamic. It's very, very Spielberg-y.
Isn't that funny, everybody? You can make a cool, fun film without the use of fucking shaky cam. Wow. Wow. Sorry.
I tip my hat to the director and the DOP. Like, I don't really know this director, but I'm going to go back and try and find some of his. I think he won Sundance a little while ago, which is a really random.
He won Sundance
and then goes on to make a King Kong, creature feature.
Kong Skull Island. Jordan Vogt Roberts.
Yeah.
Oh, God, he's got a massive beard.
Yeah.
He's doing the Metal Gear Solid film.
Oh, wow.
He did The Kings of Summer. And I don't know what the fuck that is. Yeah, he did nothing. He's done nothing really.
Kings of Summer might have been the Sundance film. He won some festival. I know that because my mate Rams has seen the film and he said it's a completely different movie to this. It's not. It's like a drama.
Yeah.
It's interesting that he was able to, you know, evolve from that to go to this and now making a video game movie. Fucking awesome, man. I'm watching this guy because I like him.
Yeah.
Anyway, The Bad. What do you got?
The script. That's my bad. The script I didn't like. The dialogue was just so shit. Like, yeah. I wasn't okay with it, but yeah.
That's not okay. My bad is the wasted characters. Just letting characters die that and not seeing out their full story or full arc. A lot of expendable things that became evident that they were just expendable towards the end. That sort of takes away from it a little bit. The ugly.
That skull shot. That's my ugly. That was fucking stupid. God damn it. That was so bad. What's yours?
Well, mine's like a continuation of my bad, and it's definitely just Tom Hiddleston just not meaning anything.
Means nothing.
It's ugly because, like, I wanted him to be something because I really like his look now and he does come across as really tough and I was excited to see him become this action hero and the action hero moments that he had I felt were unjustified because I just didn't give a shit about him.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I can understand that. Well, let's wrap it up.
That's
review time, baby. Look, I had fun watching this. I really had fun. And that's sometimes, and we say this a lot, but it's good when you're having fun watching a film. I don't need to watch something that is phenomenal and critically acclaimed because, to be honest, I don't give a fuck what other people's opinions are, okay? I don't fucking care about what you have to say. And if it's, anyway, I'll do that rant in a sec. The film was fun. It was a monster film and I got a monster film. Yeah. I got to watch big monsters being killed. I got to see my inner child explode and I got to see really beautiful shots and stuff. Script was shit, which is disappointing. Characters don't really do much, but who cares? It's good fun. It gets a 3 out of 5 from me.
3 out of 5. Fair enough. I am glad that you liked this as much as you did because I really was anticipating an argument. I was thinking, especially, I was surprised. Like, my friend Nadine, she sent me a message, said, "Have you seen Kong?" after she's walked out. And I said, "Yeah, I fucking loved it." And she sent back, "You do know it was terrible, right?" And we've had like this big back and forth going on. So, Nadine, you're wrong. This movie is fucking awesome. Nadine, sorry.
Nadine gets real shitty when I don't agree with her too. She can't handle the heat. Yeah. Nadine, look, I don't know who you are, really, other than when you grill me over my opinion, but I'm sorry that we're not at the same on this. I still want to be your friend.
You would have been able to meet her at my 30th.
Fuck my face.
But anyway, I was like really surprised because Nadine is like on the same page with me with a lot of things in terms of like, we both love Jurassic Park and we love Jurassic World and all that. And to me, like, I really felt like this was kind of in the same plane as Jurassic World. Like, there is faults, but to me, I loved what was going on and I loved what this was giving me. And like I said, I expected that because she was so negative on it, I was thought, oh, well, Connor's going to hate this. So I'm glad we were able to be on the same page for the most part here, but because I just had fun, and any movie that can make me feel like a kid again is like fucking a big tick of approval from Fish. Like, I just love feeling that feeling, like feeling like I'm in awe of what's happening on screen and just like just laughing at how awesome it is, like when a palm tree comes through the fucking helicopter and I'm just, and a big hand swats one down and I'm like jumping in my seat, man. Like, I'm getting all like so excited to see this stuff. I feel like a kid again, and that's awesome. Yeah, look, character stuff is fucked and it's not as nearly as good as it could be, but it's not really as bad as it is as well. Like, the characters that mean something to me, the Sam Jays, the fucking John C. Reilly's, they, not Tom Hiddleston, but those two guys, at least I understood motivation. I was with them. I wanted them to see their goals out, you know. Not so much Sam Jay. I didn't really want Kong to die, but I wanted to see that battle. And it was a really cool battle, like when he's trying to blow up Kong and brings him down. And it's like, fuck, man can bring down this beast. Like, that was impressive to me. The soundtrack, the cinematography, it's just fucking fun. This is the epitome of a popcorn flick. And if you expect anything deeper than that, you're an idiot. Go and watch fucking Moonlight.
Fuck off out of here.
It's not that. It's a monster movie. It's exactly what you said. If you come in expecting monsters to do things, you'll be impressed. I give it a 4 out of 5.
That's pretty fair. I can understand. I figured you would rate it pretty high, and I can respect why you did too. Just
like,
quickly,
to be honest, I was lingering on that 4.5. I really had a good time with this movie, but I've had to, you know, we're a critic, and I can acknowledge that this isn't a near on perfect film. This is an 8 out of 10, a 4 out of 5.
Well, look, this is the thing though. Like, we say we really rate our films on how much we enjoy them, and that's pretty fair, and I respect that. And like, one of the things, especially after this Oscars stuff, like, everyone's very social justice warrior, and this film's this, and this film's that. Who fucking cares? You know? Like, who fucking gives a shit what other people say about anything? We do this for you guys to listen, but, you know, we're not sitting here expecting you to listen to our opinion as gospel. We want to create conversation with this stuff. We want to create this feeling of, well, they said this. Wow, that's strange. I didn't think of that film that way. I didn't think of it that way. Yeah. That's really interesting. I thought of it this way. Or that's not what I took from it. We want you guys to listen to this after you've seen the film. Especially, like, we do. We tell you, like, hey, there's going to be spoilers in this. We want you to listen to it after. But we give away every plot point that we're in the film, you know? But, like, critics, and I hear this a lot from friends, like, hey, I want to go see this film, and I hear, I don't know, we got 60% of Rotten Tomatoes. Who fucking cares what the film gets on fucking Rotten Tomatoes? You can deliver, like, what the fuck, man? It's fucking stupid. Why does it fucking matter what other people say about a film? I promise you, if you read those goddamn reviews and you listen to what other people say and they say it's shit and they point out things, you will go into the film and you will notice those things and you will have the same fucking opinion. It is just this disgusting fucking echo chamber, and it's not... It's just... Why? Like, just... Go watch a film and form your own fucking opinion. I don't give a shit what other people say about things, because I'm pretty sure Fish is aware I will pretty much hate and like whatever I want to hate and like. You know, I've gone into films that people really like, and I'm like, that is garbage. That is literal garbage. And I've gone into films where people really like it, and I've gone, yeah, I really like it as well, you know? And same with Fish. Fish just gave Kong 4.5. Other people are telling me it's terrible. Nadine's saying it's terrible. Fuck opinions, and fuck listening to them before you watch films. Films are art. Watch them for yourself. Sorry, I'm going on a rant.
No, I agree, because, like, you know, we do expect people to listen to these, like, our views on it after you've seen the film, so you can compare it with your own. And that's what I do when I listen to podcasts and I read reviews. I never do it before I go see a movie, because it always pollutes my mind. And it's funny, I'm kind of the opposite. I tend to go against the grain. Like, if a movie is getting high appraisal, like Moonlight, for example, I went and saw Moonlight. I didn't really care for it. I thought it was okay. It was average. It's a fucking Best Picture movie, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think maybe if I went and saw it without all that stuff in my mind, I wasn't looking for bad things to bring it down, I might have liked it a little bit more. And then the other way around, if people shit on a movie, I'm going to go in looking for good things. And that's just as bad as, you know, getting on the hype train and believing in, like, oh, I need to like watching Moonlight and just pretending like I like it because it's the one of the most critically acclaimed films of the year. Like, no, form my own opinion, form your own opinion, go in, don't read reviews, don't fucking listen to anything until you've seen it. And that's why I try to see everything on opening night before anyone can get in my head. Because it does make a huge difference. Like,
you are no better than the people who sit there and watch the Fast and the Furious flicks and say they're 5 out of 5, which is fine, by the way. You are no better than those people who you would fucking slander in a heartbeat when you go watch your goddamn Oscar-nominated Academy Award-winning critically acclaimed films and fucking froth all over them, okay? And whether you admit it or not, you're sitting in that film expecting it to be good because you've been told it's good. You're no fucking better than the other side of the coin, okay? Shut the fuck up. You're pathetic. Sorry, you're a fucking loser, man. It's true. I've like, it fucking boils, like, I have so many wanker friends who sit in films and give their goddamn bullshit opinion and say how great something is, and I sit there and I'm like, sorry, can you not see that all of these things are wrong with it. And they're like, yeah, but blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm like, you are just, you're a fucking parrot. Like, you're repeating
what you've
heard.
Just echoing what the like, other reviews.
Fuck you guys. You're fucking losers. I can't handle it. Fucking hell. Like, geez, it just fucks me up,
man. At the end of the day, it comes down to your taste and what you like. Yeah. Like, I like monster movies. I like this B-grade style of awesomeness. And I love that they put a budget to something as B-grade as this. And that's what I expected. So I loved it. I appreciate Oscar bait stuff, and I appreciate deep, well-written narratives and full-on dramas and stuff. And some of them will really get me, and I'll love them. But not all of them. That's not really my bag. I'm a genre guy, and I prefer to see genre guys. But I understand the people who like that deeper stuff, and those people who loved the Moonlights and the, you know, Manchester by the Seas and stuff like that probably aren't gonna love Kong. And I understand that, and that's cool. You don't need to force it.
Isn't that disappointing that some people cannot open their eyes to different pieces of art? They can go watch Manchester by the Sea and have a fucking wank fest over Casey Affleck, but they can't sit through Kong because it's silly. No shit, it's silly.
Yeah.
Why don't you try and gain something different from this film? Instead of thinking of fantastic performances, why don't you go in and see how awesome the cinematography is? See how far we're going with visual effects. See how far we're going with action. Yeah. All of these things matter, people, okay?
I had an argument with a friend about Moonlight the other day. Like, as I said, I thought it was an average movie at best.
Yeah.
And he said, mate, but like, the performances. And I said, dude, I totally agree with you. The performances are fucking 10 out of 10, but that doesn't make a good movie.
No.
Like, to me, not even with Kong, like, the special effects are fucking 10 out of 10, but like, that doesn't make it a perfect movie to me either. Like, you know, I notice like the on the nose dialogue, and I notice some of the not so good acting and whatever, and that brings it down for me. But this guy was giving Moonlight a 5 out of 5 sort of thing, and I was like, okay, well that's you. But like I put my points across saying why I didn't think it was a perfect movie, and I can't understand why you would say it was a perfect movie. Like, it's a high rating movie, maybe for somebody who likes that sort of thing, but it's not, you know? And it's, I feel like it's so easy to just be like, this is the best movie ever made. But there's always some faults to everything. Like, we've just discussed here, like, you only gave this a 3 out of 5, but you really enjoyed this film from the sounds of it. And that's an honest fucking opinion. You can see, you're using your critical brain, seeing the things that are wrong, but you're still saying, I had a good time with this movie. I don't have to bring this down and basically, you know, rail other people for liking it, you know?
Well, I mean, like, look, my favorite film, like, that I considered probably two of my favorite films that I could probably watch over and over, Interstellar and Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Like, those are probably my two favorite films, and I find it very hard to fault them. And they are like 5 out of 5s in my book, but I can still go into those films and I will still sit there and I'm like, well, that's not right, and that was a bit dumb. It's human thing.
It's the same with Jurassic Park and Terminator 2 to me. Like, they're very, like, especially Jurassic Park, very few faults, but like there are things there. I've seen that movie so many times that I noticed the little things here and there that don't really make it the overall perfectly made film, but to me, it's a perfect experience. And that's what it comes down to. Anyway,
look, we've had a big old rant about how much we hate everyone that listens to this podcast, but we're just trying to educate. Anyway,
what we're saying is just, yeah, form your own opinion and then listen to the critics. Like, that's why I'm sure most of our listeners listen to us after you've seen the movie for context in one thing, and so we don't spoil it for you. But it's like our opinions aren't gospel. Like,
being a critic is the easiest goddamn job in the world. We've been doing it now for 3 years almost, and it is literally the fucking piss easiest job in the world. Fish and I sit down and talk. Okay, don't get me wrong, it's still like, we still have to form an opinion, and to be a good critic takes time, but you're just judging something. That's what we do. We go, I'm gonna judge that now. That's a very easy thing to do. But we also make films, which is why we can sit here and actually do it and sort of respect
most things we see. Well, that's it, and I think that is an important thing as well. It's so easy to be an armchair director, and like the hell that these guys would have gone through to make these movies, the hell that anyone goes through to make a movie, like, it's hours and hours of blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah,
and like,
you have
just
no idea.
Finishing a movie deserves a 5 out of 5 from my book, but you know.
it's a task. Anyway, look, Follow us on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and we are now going to be on SoundCloud. This is the first podcast that's going to be on SoundCloud, which is exciting. So we hope you listen on that because it's a pretty accessible app, and I'm going to try and pump it on our Facebook a little bit and try and get people to listen that way because maybe more people will. As always, I love you. I love everyone. I love everything about you. You're all beautiful people. And play the music, Fish.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fish and Connor Saw a Movie. Fish and Connor Saw a Movie does not own any rights to the film Kong, Skull Island, its marketing, or its soundtrack, and no infringement is intended. The track Bad Moon Rising is performed by Creedence Clearwater Revival, and the track The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, Titles, is performed by Ennio Morricone.